say, amen. Amen. Let's look in the book of Colossians. What a great study it's been so far. We're going to be in verse 19, and let me just read a few verses, if you don't mind, this morning. It says in Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus, "all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile," say that word, reconcile, very, very important word, "reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of Jesus' cross," his cross. "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, he has now," what? Oh, there's that word again, "reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, Calvary Chapel, holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became," or was literally made, "a minister." And the church says, amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk to you about that great word, reconciliation, and what it means. Last Sunday, we left off with the greatest and the clearest presentation of the supremacy of Christ found anywhere in the Bible. Amen? Jesus not only created all things, sustains all things, he is before all things. By him, all things are held together, or they consist, and he is also the head of the entire, he's the supreme head, I should say, of all the universe. Amen? But he's also the supreme and sole head of the church, and we are his body on this earth. Amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, the key scripture for the book of Colossians is verse 18, where it says at the very end, it says, "And in all things," everything that there is, "in all things Jesus Christ our Lord may have the preeminence," or literally be first in everything, in priority. So Colossians 3:11 says, "Christ is in all and is all." So with all that being said, remember, the Gnostics, the false teachers, they have invaded this tiny little home church there, and they're spreading lies, and they're teaching lies from the wicked one and so forth, and the supremacy of Jesus Christ our Lord is under attack. They give Jesus, when they teach, a prominence, but they do not give him a preeminence, if you will. They deny his humanity. They deny his deity. They also deny that Christ's death is sufficient for salvation. The Gnostics, remember, the word Gnostics comes from the word gnosis, the Greek word which means knowledge. So they trust in this secret knowledge that came down, they believe, from these angels or angel word, whatever it is. And that you had to have their secret knowledge plus Jesus if you really wanted to find your way to God. And so we know that's a lie, but they were invading that church. Now, with all that being said, verse 20, which will be there in just a moment, is a great verse. It's a verse that I pray that you read over and over. Let me just read it again, if you don't mind. It says, "And by him," meaning Jesus the Son, "to reconcile all things." That's a big word, loved one. All things, and we could really read it like this, "to reconcile all things back to himself," meaning back to God the Father, okay? And how does that happen? It says, "by him, whether things earth or heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross." Now, that word reconciliation is a very important word, and we want to understand what it means. But first, let's look at verse 19. And Paul starts out, and he says this, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus, "all the fullness should dwell." Remember, over and over, as we've been in this study, we realize that Paul uses select words for a very important reason. And the reason he used that word fullness is that was one of the favorite words of the Gnostics. And that word in Greek is pleroma, which means filled to the absolute fullness, okay? So look at it again. "It pleased God the Father that" what? "That in Jesus, our Lord, all the fullness, all the pleroma. In other words, Jesus is, as we already know, the absolute, complete fullness of God. Everything that God is, Jesus is. Amen? Now, but that word, again, the Gnostics, that was one of their favorite words, but it didn't have anything to do with Jesus. They believed that these, I don't know how to say the word, it's emanations, you know, these lesser beings. You would have to go this angel, this angel, this angel, and then finally this angel would finally get you to God. And they just thought that Jesus was just another one of those beings. They didn't believe he was God at all. Again, they didn't believe he also came in the flesh, okay? Now, with all that being said, the word there, when it says all the fullness, the pleroma, should dwell, the word dwell means permanent, a permanent residency, if you will. It doesn't mean that God the Father added something to Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is the visible expression of the invisible God. Remember what Jesus told Philip? Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So with all that being said, never forget, Jesus himself is the pleroma. He is the absolute exhaustion of God because he is God. Amen. Now we come to a great text. It says, all the fullness should dwell in him and by him to reconcile all things to himself. The word reconcile, loved one, is one of the most important words in all of Scripture. Let me give you a couple of definitions from the Greek scholars, and then I'll give you my definition from a person who barely got out of college, okay? Now, the reconcile, here's one of them, is the restoration of a relationship of peace which has been disturbed. That's an excellent definition. Let me give you another one. It says reconciliation in Christian theology is an element of salvation that refers to the results of atonement. Reconciliation is the end of the estrangement caused by original sin between God and humanity. Now, let me give you my definition. Reconciliation, or to be reconciled, means it's very simple. It means there is a way back to God the Father. That's a great word, isn't it? There's a way home. God has made a way to come back to him. Now listen, when Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord in the Garden of Eden, when they ate of the fruit that was forbidden for them to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they sinned against God. Amen? When they disobeyed God, they became an enemy of God, so to speak, and also became got at war with God. But God is not at war. Was he at war with Adam and Eve? What did God do? I'm trying not to sneeze, okay? Oh, don't you hate that? See, there's a lot of dust. Have you noticed the dust in the air the last 2 days? One of you? Well, it's out there, and it's driving me crazy. But that's not a part of my sermon. Now, with all that being said, and I forgot where I was. No, I didn't. No, is God at war with Adam and Eve? No. What did God do? He sought them out. He says, they were hiding from God. Adam, where art thou? Remember? Oh, God, and that, when he said, Adam, where art thou? It wasn't like that. It was, Adam, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Because Adam was hiding, but God knew where he was. He had sinned. Eve was hiding. Fig leaf religion. You know what I mean? Now listen, so what happened? God, of course, made a sacrifice for them, right? And then he took them out of the garden, put the cherubim with the flaming swords and all the fire, so they could not go back into the garden, because if they did, they could eat of the tree of life and live forever. Now, question, did God Almighty, our Father, who loves us, who sent Jesus to die for us, did he go out of the Garden of Eden with them? Yes, he did. He went out with them. And he would never leave them, nor would he forsake them. Amen? And he made promises unto them. Loved one, listen to me. They sinned, and that's why everything is a mess and still a mess today. Reconciliation is one of the great key words when it has to do with our salvation, okay? And every key word that I'm about to tell you, it's all accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ. Whenever a believing sinner, in other words, I'm lost at the beach in Florida, remember? There I am, the hippie comes up, and I pray with him, I give my life to the Lord. The moment that I do that and receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, something happens to me from heaven to earth. And that word is justification. Amen? Remember, that's a legal term, a judicial legal term. The moment I said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, I didn't know it, but God said, I declare you as if you have never, ever, 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 ever sinned. Justified, just if I had never. He takes the what we call imputation. He takes the spotless, sinless, perfect record of Jesus Christ, and then, as you already know, he puts it into our account. Amen? So that is our position. It's a fact. It's not a feeling. It's something that happens one time in your life and never happens again. God says, I declare you righteous because now you are in my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, that's justification. And after justification, we realize that also the moment that happened, we redemption takes place because of the blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed. In other words, we have been purchased. We no longer belong to the wicked one. Amen? Oh, that's right. We are now God's purchased possession. So you have justification, then you have, of course, redemption, and then something else happens. The moment that we are saved, adoption takes place. It's where His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, or the sealing of the Spirit, where we are, we cry, Abba, Father, we are the sons and daughters of God. We belong to God. We are children of the King. We have His divine nature residing in us. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but that gets me excited. You know, when he's sleeping? Come on. Where's the tambourines? No. Amen. Those are good words. Now, that also means that you, the moment that you do that, you have been forgiven. Amen? Where are your sins now? Well, your sins are as far as the east is from the west. Amen? They're in the sea of eternal forgetfulness. God forgets our sins. Praise God for that. Our sin debt is paid. Now, something else. Here it is. Reconciliation has occurred. And that is a great, great word. In other words, when I stood there on that beach that day, and Jesus Christ be the Lord of my life, something happened between me and God the Father. Reconciliation took place. Does that make sense? In other words, the wrath of God doesn't abide upon me anymore. Do you understand? In other words, the hippie took my hand, he put it in the hand of Jesus, and Jesus put my hand in the hand of the Father and says, we're friends. I'm not mad at you. Listen, that's called reconciliation. A change in my relationship occurred with God the Father because of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now, we live in a world, and the older I get, I mean, now that I'm 59, okay? Poor Mario. I mean, he's right there. I can't help it. I got to pick on him. I need him. The world is not a pretty place to me. I enjoy what beauty it does give us. It's such a trashy place. You know what I mean? And the whole world is in such a mess. I'm going to tell you something. No matter who is in the White House, do you understand? No matter how many laws our government or any government passes, no matter how many treaties we sign with Russia or this or that, all of those things, loved one, listen, it's not going to help. You know, you can see that Texas and Mexico, we're really reconciled, aren't we? I mean, have you seen that steel fence that, or whatever it's called, that wall? That's not reconciliation, loved one. Bill, are you saying we shouldn't have a wall? I'm not talking politics. I'm preaching the Word of God. Yes, listen to me. No person, no government, no system of thought, no cancel culture, no let's defund the police department, let's tear down every statue that there is in Texas. I know you're not. You know what I'm saying? None of those things, none of them can bring this world, this universe, everything that there is, and give it what it needs. This world needs one thing, and it's going to happen one day, and it's that word that we call, that we're learning, reconciliation. And it only can happen by one man and no one else. I don't care how much money or power, it can only come through Jesus Christ. Do you understand? That's right. That's what we need today. And so it says that, you know, that by Jesus to reconcile all things to God the Father, bring everything back that was stolen by the devil, that was given away by Adam and Eve. Does that make sense? See, that is the ultimate plan of God. And one day that is going to happen, a loved one, and it's only going to happen through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, everything began with Jesus, and it's all going to end with Jesus. Amen? That's right. He is supreme. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. God has a plan. Let me read it to you, Ephesians 1:10. I read this scripture to you last Sunday, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, in other words, when history comes to the end, it's complete, that he might gather together in one, listen carefully, all things in Christ. That's reconciliation. All things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth in Jesus. Let me give you the Phillips. Phillips says that everything that exists in heaven or earth will find its perfection and find its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. All things is a very big word, but don't confuse now the word all things with the false doctrine of universalism that says everybody's going to be saved. That's a lie. It's not true. Amen? No, loved one, that's very important. You know, universal reconciliation doesn't mean universal salvation. The only way that you can be saved is take or to receive what God has offered. Amen? In other words, you have to be, no, I'll put it in Jesus' words, you must be born again. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Look that word up. Literally, it doesn't say the new, it doesn't say a new creation, it says new creation, okay? Meaning never to exist before, never. We're brand new. We're born from above. And it says, old things pass away. All things now become new. And let me finish. Let me read verse 18. It says, now all these things are of God, who has, and here comes that great word, who has reconciled us, past tense, to himself. And he tells us how, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen, God the Father, reconciliation is an act of God, and Jesus is the agent. Does that make sense? See, we're the guilty people. We're the ones that are guilty. God doesn't sin. You know, he didn't want us to, Adam and Eve to blow it there in the garden, loved one. You know, so what does God do? See, reconciliation is really one-sided, okay? It's God-sided. God has done everything that he can do to reconcile you back to him, but we must accept it. Does that make sense? We must accept his offer. We have to respond to Jesus Christ. So it says, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Here it comes, the first one. He wants to reconcile, or he will, all things on earth. You know, when you think about the earth that we live in, I know there's much, much beauty. Don't get me wrong, and we're in awe because this is all we've ever known. Does that make sense? See, we don't really know what real beauty is. Is that okay? We only know what this beauty is that we behold here in the reality that we live in. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't look and say it's beautiful. Do you understand me? God said all that he created was good, and then Adam and Eve, they messed it up, didn't they? Okay, with all that being said, when it says things on earth, you have to know how important that word reconciliation is for all things on earth, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a cursed world. Is that true? Yes, it is. Listen, all things, not just human beings, it says all things. The Christian message is the only message with the answers, loved one. It tells us the truth about everything. And the truth is this, it has to do with all things, the world, the universe, human beings, everything, heaven and all of it. You see, everything, as I said a moment ago, everything that we see is fallen. It's cursed. Everything on earth. Listen, this is not the way it's supposed to be. See, something went wrong, and it has to be made right again. And the only way that that can happen is through reconciliation, something that God has already provided, and one day He will complete. The Bible is the only book in the world that tells us what's wrong with this world. Did you know that? Because He tells us the truth about this world. Oh, loved one, listen, you know, creation, when you think about the world that we live in, the trees, the rivers, the sky, the clouds, the animals and all of it, did you know that creation is upset even this moment? Did you know that creation is groaning and wailing? The Bible doesn't lie. Let me read it to you. It says in Romans 8:19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation," all that creation is, "eagerly waits." The word earnest expectation means that creation literally is one word in the Greek. It's a beautiful picture word. It means it's stretching out. The earth is stretching out. The trees are stretching. Everything on earth is stretching out its neck, if you will, waiting. Oh, come on, Lord. We're waiting. This is not the way we're supposed to be. And He says, oh, we're eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Here it comes. "For the creation," all of the earth, everything here, "was subjected to futility," or frustration, okay? Deep disappointment. It says, oh, not willingly. In other words, they didn't choose that. Creation didn't choose it. It says, "but because of Him," meaning God, "who subjected creation in hope." Because of Adam's sin, everything that exists that we see doesn't, every part of nature doesn't exist the way it used to exist. Amen? I mean, have you had a lot of animals? They walk right by you and say, "I'll call you a name, this and that." No. No, listen, when you think of the Garden of Eden, I mean, was it perfect? Oh, it was a perfect, unbelievable environment, loved one. But when Adam fell, creation fell with it, and it's groaning and it's cursed. Let me keep reading. It says in verse 21 of Romans 8, "but the creation itself also will be delivered," or set free, "from the bond of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Now that's the millennial reign, by the way. Here it comes. "For we know," the Christian knows, we know what the world doesn't know, okay, because we're born from above. "For we know that the whole creation," here it comes, "groans and labors with birth pangs until now." Birth pangs, like the earth is in delivery. It's pregnant. Does that make sense? And it's ready. It just wants to deliver. Loved one, all of nature is groaning. Everything on this earth is groaning. You know, if you ever, you know, go to Colorado and they have those big boulders in the river up there, you know, in the rivers, and they come through, you can't even hear. Remember, if you've ever done that? It's so loud. Okay. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to sound. When it rains, that's not the way it's supposed to sound. Water, when it comes upon you, that's not the way it's supposed to feel. It's supposed to feel like water, not water. Are you listening to me? When you walk on the grass in the old creation in Eden, oh, listen, it probably started singing. Do you understand? I'm not trying to make things up, but I'm telling you, it was different. See, everything that we look at, the trees, everything, they're cursed, loved one. Creation is cursed. Everything that we see is cursed. Listen, and creation needs to be reconciled. It wants to be reconciled. It's waiting for its freedom. Listen, were there thorns and thistles in Eden? No. How did they come about on the earth? The curse. Listen, why do you go out? If you don't mow your yard for 2 weeks, and some of you are guilty of that. Have you ever noticed that all of a sudden you go, that's in my grass, there's all kind of weird things growing? Well, you know what that is? That's the curse. Do you understand? It's even the air that you breathe in Eden, it's not like the air we breathe here. See, everything is going to change. Oh, loved one, listen, creation is groaning. Adam had to go out of the garden and he made his living by the sweat of his brow. There was no sweat in Eden, loved one. Oh, nothing. None of those things were there. I mean, you know, I was being chased by a bee the other day. You know, bees are not, God did not make bees to sting you. God did not make stinging scorpions to sting you. Do you understand? God did not make a dog to bite you. Yeah, I remember the old Pink Panther movie. It's one of my favorites. That's a long time ago. You probably weren't even born yet. You know, Inspector Clouseau. He goes into that hotel, and there's a dog over there. He asks the guy, you know, of the hotel clerk, and goes, he says, does your dog bite? And he goes, no, my dog does not bite. He goes down, puts his hand, starts to pay, and bites him, you know. And he goes, I thought you said that your dog doesn't bite. And the hotel clerk said, that's not my dog. You know. So, listen, they bite. God did not make animals to bite. Do you understand? See, everything is cursed. Listen, animals, you think animals, you know, I've been watching this thing with my wife. She's into these survival shows, man. And it's like, they're dying. They get skinny and they're losing all this weight. And I'm going, why are we watching this? You know, and if they last and they're survive, they get $500,000. And I would tell my wife, I'd give you $500,000 if I had it to turn it off. You know what I mean? And so you go out there and all these animals and they're trying to survive, but you see these animals killing one another. Let me ask you a question. Did God create animals to kill one another? No. Do you see everything is messed up? Everything is, we haven't really ever seen a sunset like it's supposed to be. We haven't really seen because this world is in bondage. Listen, let me tell you what's coming when we're reconciled, when creation is reconciled. Let me give you a hint. Isaiah 11:6, he says, oh, here it comes. The wolf will also dwell with the lamb. Hello? Think about that. Wolf, lamb, you got it? It says, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion, they're going to be together. And listen to this. And a little child shall lead them. Exercise lordship over them. Can you believe that? Here it comes. The cow, the bear, well, they're going to graze, okay? And their young ones will lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Here it comes. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Hello. The weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den, but they shall not hurt or destroy in all of my holy mountains, saith the Lord. And you know why? Listen carefully. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Loved one, that is called reconciliation. Do you understand? All things are going to be back. All things are going to be made right. It's all going to be the way it's supposed to be, not the way it is right now. And not only that, look at the next one. He's going to reconcile all things to himself that are in heaven. Why? Didn't that blow you away? I mean, what's wrong? Is there something wrong with heaven that it had to be reconciled by God through Christ? Yes. Where did sin begin? In heaven, didn't begin on earth. Who was the one who did that? The devil and Lucifer, yes. And the thing is, so the one right now who is trying to deceive the church at Colossae, he's the one who is doing who fell out of heaven. In other words, come on, Bill. See, you know, sometimes, see, what happens is this. My wife tells me, your mind is thinking so fast, you don't know how to get out of your mouth. You think that's true? Yeah. Satan wanted, slow down, Bill. Satan wanted what in heaven? He wanted not only the worship, he wanted God's throne. Remember? And so what is Satan doing now? Well, what he was doing at Colossae, he's still trying to do today. He is trying to dethrone Jesus Christ from the place of all supremacy. Does that make sense? And he's, well, unfortunately doing a good job in some places. But listen, when it comes to reconciliation, we're talking about things in heaven. When it comes to reconciliation, the one who fell from heaven, okay, the serpent, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, there is no hope for his reconciliation. The only thing he's going to get is going to be the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? But when we think about heaven, things in heaven, the reconciliation that needs to take place, right now, we realize that in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and following, what is going on in the heavenlies? It's the domain of whom? Of the wicked one. Amen? Okay, something is, so that has to be cleansed, and that day is forthcoming. However, there was something in heaven that had to take place in heaven itself, because that's where the first sin, evidently, of course, as we know, took place. So let me give you a scripture, Hebrews 9:23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. Meaning the blood of bull and goats, no, that won't work. But heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than the blood of bull and goats and so forth. So the perfect tabernacle in heaven, the earthly tabernacle was only a copy, amen? Okay, so the perfect tabernacle in heaven had to have the absolute perfect offering. The blood had to be applied. The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ himself, he came not with the blood of bull and goats, but he came with his own blood. Amen? He came into where? Into the most holy place. What was in the most holy place in heaven and upon earth? The Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Now, which represents the presence of God. And there upon the lid, the golden lid of the Ark of the Covenant, what was inside that ark? The Ten Commandments, the tablets that we broke, amen? The golden pot of manna, the food that God provided that man despised, the rod that budded, Aaron's rod, speaking of the authority of God and the resurrection. Jesus came in, and with his own blood, he poured over the mercy seat. He covered the sins, amen? Do you see that they're all gone? See, so the things in heaven, for some reason, they had to be cleansed. And when he did that, he obtained eternal redemption for those who have placed their trust in him. We are eternally redeemed, purchased, never to be sold to anyone. Amen. Thank God for that. And look at the means now. It says, and having, past tense, having made peace. And there's only one way that could have happened. Look at it. Through the blood of his cross. You know, the cross was such a violent thing. Isn't it amazing that peace came through such violence? The blood of his cross. Loved one, the means of reconciliation is the blood of Jesus, is his death, his sacrifice. And because of that, now listen, it says peace, we having made what? Peace. Now, Romans 5:1, what does it say? What does it say? It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that peace is just like justification in a way. The peace that we have with God is something that we may not always feel, and the reason it's a fact, it's not a feeling. You have peace with God forever. Do you understand? Because it came through Jesus Christ our Lord. And peace is always a person, and God makes peace with us no other way except through his Son and through the death of his Son. Ephesians 2:14. Jesus himself is our peace. So having made peace, but it says also through the blood, meaning the sacrifice, through his death. The Bible tells us clearly in Romans 5:10 about his death. It says, for when we were enemies, we're not anymore, but when we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Loved one, listen to me. When we came to Christ, there was a change in relationship between us and God the Father. I mean, a complete change from enmity to now friendship. Let me read another version of that last part. It says, we are now God's friends again. Isn't that a glorious word? We are now God's friends again because of the death of Jesus. Listen, reconciliation means, don't ever forget this, it's so simple, means there is a way back home. There is a way back to God. There is a way back to God, our Father. Oh, the world needs to hear that. Amen. I say, oh, Lord, that is so good. He says, and watch this now. And he says in verse 21, and you, talking to the Colossians, and of course, us as well, and you who once were, that's past tense, not anymore, who once were alienated, who once were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled, past tense. You know, I love Paul in the way he writes. See, he loves the word, he loves the word once and now. He uses that a lot. And so it's a contrast. In other words, the way we were and the way we're not any longer. And it's so wonderful. Listen, the horrible condition of those that are outside of Christ, and we have all been there, loved one. The word alienated means that we were cut off from the Lord. It means that we were strangers to the Lord and to Father God. It means that we may have heard about him, but we didn't know anything about him. He doesn't live in our heart and so forth. And to be alienated from God means that we would be alienated from what life really is. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're listening live right now or you're sitting in this chapel, I want you to listen to me. I love you. Jesus loves you so much. He died for you, okay? But here's the deal. If you're not born from above, if Jesus is not your Lord, you know what? You don't have life. You're only experimenting with life because you're dead in trespasses and sins. And boy, does God want to make you alive. He wants you to live. Amen? Oh, that's what he wants. Listen, you don't want to experiment with life. You want to live life, man. And there's only one way to do it, and it's through the life of Jesus Christ. You see, when we were lost, we were without hope. We were without strength. We were without Christ in this world. What a sad word that is. Oh, and it's a horrible word. But you see, it says we're also enemies, and we were enemies up here. Isn't that amazing? In our minds. You know, isn't it amazing? The power of false thinking. Did you know that a person who will believe a lie, and the devil, the Bible says, is the father of every lie, all lies. He was a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says. Listen, the power of false thinking, it's so powerful that it can literally keep a person from ever coming to Christ. It can literally be so strong that they will resist the truth of God, even to death. That's a heartbreaking thing. Enemies in our mind. See, if God is not in our minds, how can God be in our actions? Amen? That's why he said wicked works. But look at verse 22. It says, but in the body of his flesh, meaning Jesus' body. Remember that the Gnostics said he didn't come in a fleshly body, okay? So they were false teachers. It says, in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you, oh, look at these words, holy, blameless, above reproach, in whose sight? In God's sight, not the sight of your neighbor. Who cares what your neighbor thinks? Amen? No, you know what I mean. I mean, does God miss anything? Does he see everything? Now listen to, look at it. and above reproach in his sight. Jesus suffered in a real body. Do you understand? He was the God-man. And he put to death the enmity between man and God when he died through his precious blood. Listen, reconciliation means this, that now you are holy unto God, meaning you are set apart to God and for God. Not only that, look at this next word, you are blameless. When's the last time anybody said you were blameless? Huh? I get blamed for stuff at my house all the time that I didn't even do. You know? No, blameless. You know what it means? Blameless, faultless, without blemish. And look at this next one. Oh, reconciliation means above reproach. You know what? That's incredible. This is beyond blameless. Loved one, this means free from any charge. It literally means that the believer is now unchargeable. In other words, no one can bring a charge against you because you are in Christ Jesus. Does that make sense? Oh, man, the world can accuse you. The devil can accuse you. Your best friend, does it really matter? God is not going to accuse you. And here's the reason why. It says in Romans 8:33, it says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who declares you as if you had never sinned because you are in Christ. But just in case you get carried away here and think that you really are blameless, you really are. However, Paul is not speaking about conduct here, okay? That's a very, very important. He's not speaking about conduct. He's speaking about your position in Christ. Justification is instant, but sanctification is a process, okay? It's an ongoing process. We are being changed into the image of Christ. Remember, the Bible says, from glory to glory to glory. Amen? So it's progressive, and that's very important there. There has never been, and there never will be, a believer that in his lifestyle can say, yeah, I'm blameless. If you want to run from someone like that, because God's getting ready to strike him with lightning, okay? Yeah, run as fast as you can. So this is our position in Christ. A great scripture about our position. First John 4:17, as he is, as Jesus is, present tense, right this very minute, right this minute. As Jesus is, comma, so are we, present tense, in this world. Think about that. Man, right. I mean, I think that blows me away. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, the Gnostics said, you know, well, you're going to kind of have a good standing. Paul says, your standing is absolutely perfect in Christ Jesus. And somebody says, well, Bill, that sounds too good to be true. No, verse 23 clears everything up, okay? Look at this. It's the proof of reconciliation that has occurred. It says, if, or literally, since, indeed, you continue in the faith, grounded, that means a settled faith, unmovable, and steadfast, that means an established faith, and are not moved away from the hope. And remember, the Christian hope is different from the hope of the world. This is hope for the believer is confident, sure, immutable expectation is going to happen because God said it would. It says, from the hope of the gospel, the true gospel, that is, which you heard. Now, where did they hear the gospel from? Epaphras, remember? Yeah, not Paul. They'd never seen the face of Paul, okay? So they heard from Epaphras, this great gospel. And of course, the false gospel was now being preached there by the Gnostics, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, or literally was made a minister. So what does that scripture say? It says this, we are never saved by continuing in the faith. Does that make sense? But we continue in the faith because it proves we are saved. Amen? In other words, anybody want to walk off and say, I don't want Jesus anymore? No, not at all. Of course not. So position for the believer always translates into practice, loved one. Always. If you are born from above, you're going to start walking in Christ-likeness. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're going to finally get there. Amen? Amen. Now, with all that being said, it's important for us to realize something. That, you know, we have been reconciled because of we're a new creation in Christ. But did you know that when it comes to reconciliation, that God has now committed unto us the word of reconciliation to this world? Man, listen, that's so important. Let me give you the scripture. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, here it comes, and has given us, not angels, not only just pastors, has given every believer, you ready, the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, you have a ministry where you can say, I know the way back to God, to anybody. Think about that. Is that hard to say? I don't know how to witness. Okay, there is a way back to God, lost person. Does that make sense? That's all you have to do. I know the way. I know how you can get back all the way. God loves you. He says, given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. How did he do that? The cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Amen. He says, not imputing their trespasses. What did he impute to us? The spotless, sinless record of Christ. Not imputing their trespasses, and has committed to us, put into your hands, the church of Jesus Christ, committed to it, the word of reconciliation. Listen to me now. Reconciliation is an accomplished fact by God through Christ Jesus. Okay? It's done. All you have to do is tell the people, the lost, I know the way back. I know how you can go back. I know that there's a way back to God. And so reconciliation is a fact, but it must be offered to the lost by you, the believer. We're fishers of men. And not only that, listen to this. It says, and now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God he's pleading through us. Begging the world, listen, pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's what ambassadors do. You know, the cry of God the Father to every human being is be reconciled. I've provided a way for you to come back to me. You know, what Adam did and Eve did, listen, I've made a way. You can be reconciled to me. We can be friends all over again because I love you. And that should be the cry of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Someone said this, a lost world is not on the doorsteps of a powerless, loveless God, but it's on the doorstep of an apathetic, unconcerned church. Let that never be said about Calvary Chapel. Amen? Listen. You that are home right now, I love you and I'm not beating on you. I don't beat the sheep. I feed the sheep and I don't fleece the sheep either. But if you belong to Calvary, it's time to come home. It's time. It's time for relaunch to fully happen. You know what I'm saying? I want to see those that belong to Calvary back at Calvary. And if you're not coming back to Calvary, then I want you to go find a church and where you can be used of God. Amen? Yes. Loved one, listen. Reconcile. Reconciliation is one of the most important words in the Bible in the world. Our sin debt has been paid. Jesus, through his blood, having made peace, we have been reconciled to God. God's not mad at you. God's not mad at anybody. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, listen. You know, there's a way back to God. Listen to these scriptures about sin. The psalmist, he's going to cry out and he's going to say, oh, Lord, he says, please do not remember my former iniquities. You know what? He doesn't. It's accomplished. Amen. It's accomplished through Christ. He says, oh, let your tender mercies come upon me. Well, they already have. He's the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen. He cries out and he says, oh, Lord, he says, oh, please help me. Deliver us, provide atonement for my sins for your name's sake. It's done. It's already done. The psalmist says, oh, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, if you should count my sins, if you would add them all up. He says, Lord, Lord, who could stand? No one. And then he says, but there is forgiveness with you. We serve a great God. He's here right now. The power of the Holy Spirit is so present with us this very moment. Listen, reconciliation means there's a way back to God. And if you're here or you're listening on the radio or you're listening live streaming or however you're doing it, if you don't know Jesus, listen to me. There's a way back. There's a way back to God. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, the one who loves you, who died for you, who took your place, took your punishment. All you have to do is come back. No, you have to just come home. You have to come to the Father. That's how you do it. You remember the prodigal son? What did he do? He went to his dad and said, he says, Dad, praise the Lord, Dad. He says, listen, I want all my money. I want all my inheritance. I'm leaving town. And the father gave him all of his inheritance. You know the story. And he went and what did he do? He wasted all the money, all of his inheritance on prodigal living or wasteful living with the prostitutes and the drunk and all the rest of it. He went into the far country, which is away from God. He lived out there. And what did he do? He went broke. All of his friends took advantage of him. He's a little Jewish boy. And what happens? He ends up in a pig pen feeding pigs. And Jews don't do that. He became so poor because the world will make you poor. He started eating the pig's food. And then he came to himself. He said, man, in my dad's house, there's all kinds of food. He feeds all of his servants. I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go back to my father. I'm gonna go home and tell him that I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. And so he said, I will arise and go to my father. Great words. You don't know Christ. Listen to me. You need to arise and go to your father who loves you. He came to himself and as he was coming over the hill, was the father waiting for him? Oh, he was waiting for him. And he says, oh, he came in. And the Oriental men did not run back then. Do you? He lifted up his skirt of his garments and he starts running. And here is his son living like hell, looking like hell. Do you understand? Because hell was all over him. He was covered with shame and covered with guilt and covered with sin. What did God do? The prodigal father? He ran to him. He fell upon him. He hugged him. He kissed him. He said, bring me the garment. That's the robe of righteousness. Let me cover up my son's shame. I never want to see this sin again. I love him so much. Get me the sandals that my son is no longer a slave. Give me that ring. He has authority again. For my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he is alive. Let us eat. Let us drink. Let's go barbecue that cow. We're going to have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know Christ, you need to come home. There's a way back to God, and you can't earn it. You can't be good enough, but you can receive it. You see, he's made a way. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, every Christian praying, listen to me, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, I'm not talking about joining Calvary Chapel. I'm not talking about becoming a Calvary Chapelite or a Methodist or a Baptist. That's not what this means. It means becoming a child of God. If that's you, and you, listen, if you don't know in your heart that you're saved, you need to get saved now. So if you're here, as our heads are bowed and all the believers are praying, you don't have to come to this altar. But if Jesus is not your Lord, would you just raise your hand and say, Bill, I want him to be my Lord. Would you join those in the early service who gave their heart to Christ? Quickly, don't be ashamed. Listen, I need to see your hand. I'm pleading with you as an ambassador of Christ. Be reconciled unto God if that's you. Quickly, hand up and just hand down. My last call. I'll not ask again. If that's you, do it now. Father, I assume that, wait, that's right. You that listening live, listen to me. You ask Christ right now to come into your heart. Say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my life, and he'll do it right now. So, Father, I assume that everyone in this congregation, they belong to you. They are ambassadors for Christ. They've been reconciled to you, Lord. You are our friend, and we give you praise for that. And I say to you, Father, this morning, there is no one like you. No one. Your love is unfathomable, the love that you have for us. Everything that you do for us is good, and you continually do good. And we love you. We pray all of this. We believe all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I even enjoyed my own teaching this morning. I feel happy. Aren't you glad you're saved? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, aren't you just, I mean, hello, praise the Lord. You know, man. It just doesn't get any gooder than that, you know? I love you dearly. Listen, if you're visiting for the very first time, I'm going to depart over to the Welcome Center. We have that free Corvette for you. And